So when Steve asked me what I wanted to talk about tonight, I immediately said patience, because contemplating patience goes way back for me, all the way back to the early 1990s when I moved actually from Bellingham to Quebec, even though I was born in Minnesota. So I had been in I was living in Montreal then, and I'd been there for a couple of years. I was working for a software company in Montreal that sold a complete business package for auto dealers, very complex package. And at that time, I was still doing customer support. So I was answering the phone and I was installing the package and training people on it. So I was in this. The town of Sept-Îles, which is a beautiful little town in northern Quebec. And I was working with a very small auto dealer, primarily with two women, one of whom I will call Marcel. And she had been working for the company for a long time. She was the parts manager and she also did point of sale, and she was really sharp, really easy to work with. The other one I will call Claire. Claire was the accounting person, but she had no training in accounting, and she had been with the company for 2 days. So teaching Claire was not going well. And I was trying to teach her how to do the point of sale batch, which is moving the invoices from point of sale into accounting. Very important procedure. Has to be done every day and has to be done right. And she was not getting it. Just not getting it. And I kept trying. And finally, I thought, well, maybe she's just not understanding my French. You know, my accent is different from her accent. Maybe that's the problem. So I asked Marcel to come in. I showed her the procedure, which she got just like that, and asked her to teach it to Claire. Which she did very well, I thought, but Claire still did not get it. So I was back trying to go through it again with her, and Marcel was standing there watching us, and all of a sudden she said, "La patience est la mère de toutes les vertus." Patience is the mother of all virtues. And they just stopped me for a minute, and I thought, but I am being patient, right? Look how calm I am. I am not yelling at her. I'm not shaking her, which is honestly what I felt like doing. But I did not forget what she said. To this day, I have not forgotten what she said, and I pondered it a lot. And I thought, is that true? Is patience the mother of all virtues? So when I started doing Buddhist practices, and I found out that patience was one of the paramis or the perfections, that was very interesting to me, and I really started contemplating it as a practice, right? So when I said I was going to talk on patience, my friend Steve sent me links to a couple of books, formative books. One is The Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by Shantideva, who was an Indian monk and philosopher from the 8th century. And the other is called Patience, A Guide to Shantideva's Sixth Chapter, which is the chapter on patience, by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who was a Tibetan Lama who died only a few years ago, actually, so pretty contemporary. So I read both of those books and found them both quite interesting. And I noticed a couple of things. One is that they focused a lot on patience in the face of anger, right? And which, of course, is extremely important, but of course, patience takes a lot of forms besides anger, you know, boredom, anxiousness, discomfort, many, many different forms, some of which some of you mentioned tonight, I noticed. And they also talked a lot about how it's better to be patient than to be angry, about how destructive anger is and how patience leads to peace and happiness. And at first I thought, well, that's obvious, isn't it? But then I started thinking about what it feels like to be angry, how justified we feel, and the energy, there's kind of energy to anger. And I decided anger is actually very seductive. Very seductive. So it really is important to understand how destructive it is, not just for our target, but also for us, right? The other thing that I noticed about these books, and neither one of these books were written in English, so, but the translators both used the term endurance for patience. And to be fair, endurance is a synonym for patience in the dictionary, but I don't like it. To me, endurance implies that the dukkha is still there, the second arrow is still flying. I'm like gritting my teeth and putting up with some unpleasant or painful situation. That's not patience to me. That's not what I'm after. I want a deeper kind of patience, one that actually transforms my perception of the situation. And I'm thinking, is that possible? And then I was in YouTube, this is, I think, last week, and I came across a Dharma talk by Gil Fronsdal called Patience as Opening Instead of Enduring. And I thought, ah. So I watched it, and it's a great talk, absolutely great talk. And he talks quite a bit about the Pali word kanti, which is translated into patience, and about the roots of this word. And he said, it's actually related to wholesomeness and beauty. So it's not really endurance, but it's turning a difficult experience into something beautiful. I thought, okay, that's what I want. He also talks about a gentle perseverance rather than endurance. So, going back to the book by the Rinpoche, in his introduction, he has a list of the three types of patience. Now, before I read his book, I had made a list of three types of impatience. So I was very interested to compare my list to his list and see if they corresponded. And I also was interested in understanding better how to transform impatience into patience. So I started thinking about some examples from my own life when I more or less had succeeded in doing this and seeing if I could understand a little bit better how I did it. What was the doorway, right? So his first category of patience is the patience of accepting suffering. And my first category, the first item on my list was impatience with situations. So, okay, I see a correlation there. And I'm thinking about situations in which I am bored or uncomfortable or maybe in pain or frustrated or anticipating something that I want to do or something I want to get over with. Any situation in which I do not want to be with what is. I want to be down the road, right, for some reason. And a couple of weeks before that, I had decided actually to experiment on really feeling what impatience was like. As I said, I have this broken arm. So I was going to my second appointment with the orthopedic clinic. And now I knew the routine because I'd been there before. I knew that after the x-ray, I was going to be put in a room and I was going to wait for a while for the PA to come. I was going to be by myself, and then she was going to knock on the door. She wasn't just going to walk right in. And so I'm thinking, this is the perfect time to meditate on impatience because I had felt quite impatient in that situation the first time I'd gone. It was like 20 minutes or something. So I sat in the room and I closed my eyes and I brought my attention to my breath, all the things that we do, and I settled in pretty well. I was actually feeling pretty calm, pretty patient. And then at some point I heard something in the corridor and I'm like, oh, maybe that's her. Maybe she's going to knock on the door, you know? And I said, oh, wait, patience. It wasn't her. So I got back. Okay, I'm going to be patient. And it went on like that. Impatience came in waves, little waves of impatience. And then I could settle back down into patience. And so what I realized is that in this type of situation, the doorway into patience is being present with what is, or as the Rinpoche says, accepting the suffering, whatever it is, just accepting it, letting it go, and being there. Okay, so his second item on his list is the patience of disregarding harm done by others. The second item on my list was impatience with others. Well, a very clear correlation, obviously. So then I thought about an argument that I had had with a very close friend. This was actually a couple of months before this, but I had gotten angry, right? This is patience in the face of anger. We had been talking, and I was telling her about something I'd read online, I think. And all of a sudden, she just erupted and she said, I already know that. You're telling me something I already know, and you always do that, and you must think I'm stupid. And I was like, what? You know? And I did not react well. I yelled back at her. And then she's telling me, my mother used to yell at me and tell me I was stupid. And we went at it for a little while and then gradually calmed down, right? But when I went home, I was still annoyed. I was still annoyed. It had just come out of the blue, right? And it played in my mind for, I think, a couple of days. You know, every now and then that would come back. But on the second day, I suddenly realized that what was playing in my mind was not her angry words at me. It was my mother used to yell at me and tell me I was stupid. And all of a sudden, I started feeling compassion for that little girl who was so vulnerable, right, and so impressionable. And my anger just vanished. So I thought, okay, that's the doorway in to that type of impatience is compassion, right? So the third item in his list was patience of having certainty in the Dharma. And the third item in my list was impatience with myself. I did not immediately see a connection between those two. So I was thinking about, okay, when was the last time I was annoyed with myself? Well, it had been the day before that. I have this three-way text with my sister and this same friend that I had the argument with a couple months ago, who's also good friends with my sister. And we usually check in with each other every morning. And so this particular morning, I had something I wanted them to read, something from the internet. I had an agenda because this thing that I had read supported something I had said in a conversation we'd had the day before. They were texting about the Seahawks. I'm not a sports fan, I must admit, and I did not want to text about the Seahawks. I wanted them to read the thing that I had sent them. And they just completely ignored me. They not only didn't read the thing I sent, they didn't even comment on it, you know. And I got annoyed. I found myself getting annoyed, but my reaction was so ridiculous Then I saw it. I saw it immediately, and then I became annoyed with myself. It's like, Judith, you've been meditating for 35 years. You know, how long is this going to take? Why can't you get this together? And so I went around and around like that for a while, and then all of a sudden I thought, well, I did see it. Maybe I should give myself a little credit, you know, and maybe I should remember that this is a process. At least for me. I mean, some people may get enlightened just like that, but for me, this is a process. And it does work. Okay? There was a time I would not have seen that. I would have just been annoyed with them. And so maybe what I need to do is remember and have a little faith in the Dharma. Or, as the Rinpoche said, the patience of having certainty in the Dharma. Oh, there is a connection, right? So, what do all these forms of impatience have in common? Well, I was thinking about a cartoon I saw in the New Yorker many years ago. These two women are standing in a long line, and one of them turns to the other and says, "I really do want to live in the now, just not this now." And I thought, that's it. That's impatience. Not this now. I want the next now, which is going to be better than this now, right? And what do all forms of patience have in common? Well, I think there has to be some letting go of the self, the preoccupation with the self, with the conditioned conviction that it's all about me, that everything should work out for me the way I want it. I think we have to let go of that to some extent. And then I think it creates the space for accepting and being okay with what is. And so, how do we practice patience? Because that's what I've been thinking about a lot. First of all, we recognize there will be no lack of opportunities. Life is very generous in providing opportunities to practice patience. For example, when I fell on that muddy hill, right outside there behind my apartment, I was surprised by my reaction. I got up, I looked at my arm, it was very sore, and I said, "This does not look good." And then I thought, this is going to be what it is. I can either be miserable and make everybody else miserable or not. The choice was obvious. But what I didn't realize at the time is what I was doing was setting an intention to be patient through this experience. And by and large, not 100%, but by and large, I have been much more patient than I could have imagined I would be. And I think that is the first step. Set that intention. And then what do we do? Well, at least once a day, we sit down and probably close our eyes, and we do nothing for 30 or 40 minutes. And maybe we feel bored at some point, or restless, or eager for the bell to ring, or whatever. And when those feelings come, we say, okay, how does this feel? How does this feel in the body? This is impatience. How does it feel? And we become aware of how it feels and how patience feels. And then we take this awareness into our daily lives, right? So I do think there is a difference. I know there is a difference between being patient and faking patience, right? And the Rinpoche talks about patience as devotion. I love that. I love that. I think that is a dedication to being present. And I thought about something that an experience I had back in December before I broke my arm. I had gone to the Department of Licensing to renew my driver's license. And I got there 20 minutes before they opened because I know how it works, right? And it was pouring rain, absolutely pouring rain. There were five people already lined up. And fortunately, there was an overhang, so we didn't have to stand in the rain. So I took my place in the queue, and then some other people came in after me. And then I looked up and down the line of people, and every single person there was on their phone. They were all escaping, right? And I said, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to see what this experience is like, right? So I stood there looking at the rain, and then I saw these trees across the parking lot, and they were all bending in the same direction, and I could see that the wind came from this direction. And then I saw this flock of crows land on this building across the parking lot. And then they flew to these other trees. And suddenly, I was just overwhelmed with this feeling of reverence. Reverence for the beauty that was there that I would not have seen if I had been escaping into my phone. And I thought, looking back on that, I thought, okay. Is that patience as devotion? I think maybe it is, right? Just being present with what is can be an act of devotion. So, is patience the mother of all virtues? That implies to me that patience can actually generate the other virtues, that it can give birth to the other virtues. And thinking about it, I think I could maybe make a case for that. Having patience as an intention, it does slow me down. It does bring me into the present. It gives me time to reflect and remember the Dharma. And it gives space for compassion, for kindness, for honesty, for generosity, for these other virtues to arise. So yeah, I can see that. So looking back on that install so many years ago, well, I realized that both Claire and I were doing our best. But I do wonder, if I could have been truly patient, not just faking patience. For one thing, I would have had compassion for that woman. She was in a very difficult situation. And maybe I could have thought more clearly. Maybe I could have been more creative. I'll never know that for sure. But yeah, I would have definitely had compassion for her. So I want to end just by mentioning a particular impatience that a lot of us are feeling these days, and that is the big impatience with what's going on in the world, with what's going on in the country. I know for me, it's easier to feel compassion for people I know. Because I know them, I know their situation. And I also know that my friends and my family are people of goodwill. They have their quirks, but I look at some of the things that are happening in the world today, some of the pain that is being inflicted, the injustice, the suffering, and I'm finding it it's easy to feel compassion for the victims. But I'm finding it difficult to feel compassion for the perpetrators. And I know that these people are my teachers, right? I know that. And yet, It's not like I'm walking around being angry all the time. I'm not. But I slip in and out of it. I know that my anger is not useful. I know that angry people can't bring peace to the world. I am incredibly inspired by the monks who are walking for peace, and I look at them and I feel peaceful. And then the next morning I wake up to the latest outrage and then I'm angry again. So last Sunday, in the Sunday morning sit, Nina LaBoie, some of you may know her, she was leading, and she, in her talk, she talked about this. And she talked about the long history of humankind, the long history of autocracies and wars and injustices and discrimination. And I mean, I have to admit that it is possible that as long as human beings live on this planet, there will be things like that. I don't know that for sure. I don't like to think that, but it is possible. But it is also true that every single individual thing does end. It is not permanent. And the situation we are in is not permanent. And thinking about that, it broadened my perspective, I have to say. It did. And I haven't given up on compassion, trying to feel compassion for these people. And I certainly will do what I can. But I have to say that having a broader perspective dissipated my anger and my impatience more easily than trying to manufacture compassion that I was not feeling, right? So then I started thinking about the connection between patience and contemplating impermanence. And I know that impermanence, of course, is one of the causes of dukkha because we cling to things we want that are going away. But impermanence can also be a blessing, right? And it can be easy, it's easier to be patient with something that you know is going to end. Just like this situation in the world is going to end. It's going to change. It's not going to be this way forever. And as we were talking after Nina's Dharma talk, a poem came to mind. And it is a poem I hadn't thought about in many, many years. But this is the poem of the long view of autocracy, the impermanence of autocracy. And I think the long view is the patient view, right? So I'm going to end by sharing this poem with you. Ozymandias by Percy Bysshe Shelley. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear: My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away." Thank you for your attention.